Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 26th, 2023. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Glass Garden Apothecary. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Do not stop thinking of life as an adventure. You have no security unless you can live bravely, excitingly, imaginatively. Unless you can choose a challenge instead of competence." By Eleanor Roosevelt. So, what are we drinking today? We are drinking Sip a Spell's Witch's Pie. This is a tea that's like really perfect for the fall and winter. It has like pecan and chocolate caramel. It's just like this really nice tea. It tastes just like pecan pie, and it is naturally sweetened with freeze-dried apple pieces, so you get that sweetness, and it's just really nice. Okay, so we are talking today about pecans, and this comes to us from VegParadise.com. So according to them, the Native Americans recognized, and of course I'm reading this verbatim, so just, you know, recognized that pecans were ideal trading commodities. As they journeyed and camped along the trading routes, they planted pecan trees to assure that they and their progeny would have a steady supply of precious nuts for trading. When the trees began to bear fruit, they would plan their routes to take advantage of the harvest. Their precious pecans paid for goods such as hides, mats, and they traded with when the Spaniards landed in Florida. So some natives likened pecan trees to the Great Spirit. The nuts were valued by tribes, and they were eaten for sustenance. And some claim that there were certain tribes that would only eat them for subsistence, like for like months at a time. And it's just really interesting how it was such a, what's the word I'm looking for? I've like been lost at words a lot lately, but it was such a commodity. It was such a sought after thing that people could really use to trade and do all of that. Sometimes I think about like the country and like all the different cultures that landed and spent time and traded, and it really does blow my mind sometimes. Okay, moving into headlines. This comes to us from IndianExpress.com. Behind Argentina's World Cup magic, an army of witches. So Martinez, a self-proclaimed witch and part-time babysitter, got to work. She focused intensely on Masai, began repeating a prayer, and drizzled a bit of oil into a bowl of water. If the oil remained dispersed, he was safe. If it was collected in the middle, he was cursed. That is what they say. Let's see. Well, not what they say. That's what the article is saying. I am not putting any sort of weight on this. Okay. Okay, so they say Martinez knew something was off. The seemingly invincible star Lionel Messi was scuffling on the soccer pitch. To her, it looked like he was afflicted with a curse or the evil eye. So Martinez, a self-proclaimed witch and part-time babysitter, got to work. She went to Twitter and called on her fellow witches across Argentina. "Evil eye healing sisters, Messi is very affected. I need your help." 1,000 people shared her tweet, with many saying they too were witches and would protect Argentina's golden boy. The bookkeepers have their set have set their odds, gamblers have placed their bets, and experts have made their picks for Sunday's World Cup final between Argentina and France. But their analysis of the matchup focused on just the 22 players on the field might not be considering a wild card, Argentina's army of witches. It's funny because this is not a new thing, right? Like, there was all those rumors about, I think it was Giselle Bundchen and her husband, Tom Brady, in sports. What does he do, football? So this is not a new thing. The idea of, like, witchcraft in sports, I mean, there's the whole cliche of the fans with their superstitious underwear, right? Like, the idea that people have always tried to do things or have actions to affect games and players and stuff is not a new thing. But it is kind of funny seeing it in, like, a modern day context where you can put the shout out on Twitter and, like, a country's witches are going to rise up. I think that's really cute. Okay, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, January 26th. The waxing crescent moon sparks in Aries today. Here, the moon squares Mercury. We may be having trouble expressing our feelings today. We want to make sure the conversations are constructive, but when you feel passionately about something, it doesn't take much to start butting heads if someone is getting in your way. Stay calm. There are ways to get around roadblocks that don't involve running into them directly. Your daily moon mantra is, obstacles are not there to stop you. They're there to see how badly you want it. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Happy New Year! If you're looking to add new healthy habits to your 2023, check out Glass Garden Apothecary. All of our teas and other herbal potions are made to order with all the best intentions stirred right in. Go to glassgardenapothecary.com and Glass Garden Apothecary on YouTube. Josephine Glass can't wait to make your order. And use code WITCH, WITCH, for 10% off in January and February at glassgardenapothecary.com.
Hello, we are back. So this is actually editing, Tanya. So we're doing a little something different here, and I'm replacing the segment that we had originally for today, and I'm replacing it with something else. So we were going to talk about one of our great listeners had posted in the Facebook group asking when chakras had kind of become a part of the mainstream witch practicing system in the U.S. And I had commented pretty much when it hit, like, mainstream, like when people really started making money off of, like, promoting it and stuff. And there were a bunch of other comments, and we had pulled some great resources. Lefty did a great job at she pulled some blog articles, but then also some peer-reviewed articles and all this stuff. So I had recorded a segment, and after I recorded, I was like, well, I really should add this. And I was like, well, I should also add this. And it kind of became such a nuanced situation where to talk about it thoroughly and accurately, I would have had to essentially write a research paper. Right? Because it gets really complicated, not just when it came over here spiritually versus monetarily, but then it became so layered in terms of, okay, which system? Western, Eastern witch lair after it was influenced by this person, and this person. And then it's like, well, some theologists, some occult, you know, theologists talked about it, but did they actually practice it, or did they just talk about it? In which system did they talk about it? Did they talk about the original system or like the more westernized system? And it became, I realized that it was a very nuanced subject, and one I felt like I could maybe tackle, but I would tackle it as a research paper for it. It felt more more akin to work you would put in for a degree, and less of a podcast discussion for the platform and the level of intensity that we have discussions. So you're like, Tanya, if that's the case, why are you talking about it? Why are you just talking about like cats or something today? And here's the thing. The witch world and the world, especially right now in society 2023, we have this expectation for everyone to know everything all the time. And if you don't, haha, you're got. You know what I mean? And I think that's a really unhealthy point of view. And the idea of you knew something maybe a week before someone else knew it, and therefore you're superior, you know, of a human. And that's like the culture I feel like we're in right now. And I easily could have just cut this. Honestly, I easily could have just read like the three paragraphs off Wikipedia history that supports the thing I said, and then just, you know, call it a podcast episode, hit publish. And I feel like that is what a lot of people would do, right? However, that's not like my standard, I feel like, of information and communicating. And literally even just recording what I did, where I kind of went over a few different aspects and layers and theories, it just didn't feel sufficient. It didn't feel enough. And I felt it wasn't the level of authenticity or the level. I can't publish something knowing that I am suppressing parts of the information. I just can't. It would eat away at my whole body and soul. So I wanted to kind of share this weird witch win / witch fail, like this witch, let's call it a witch lesson, okay, for this segment instead. Because I had a few options, right? I could either just, again, read the three paragraphs that supported what I said and move on and ignore everything else. I could publish what I had originally recorded, which, you know, kind of looked at a few different aspects. But the problem is that it's such a nuanced subject that would require a lot of work, because a lot of reputable sources contradict each other. And a lot of these sources are layered. And then you have to dig into a lot of history and other things. And, well, this person says this, but which concept are they talking about? From which time period are they talking about? And it became too layered and too nuanced. So I decided instead to share just this journey with you for a number of reasons. One, to kind of show that if you do listen to any podcast or YouTube video or TikTok that can seem to sum up the idea of some of these concepts, for us, it was chakras. If they can seem to sum it up nicely and neatly under 30 minutes, just know you're missing a lot of information. You're missing a lot of layers and you're missing a lot of nuance. So that was one reason I wanted to share this. Two, I wanted to share it because, I don't know, I'm pretty transparent, I think. And I also kind of wanted to share that it's okay to not know everything or know everything to such an intense depth. Because again, I feel like for us to accurately talk about it, it would require me taking a lot of different sources that are saying a lot of different things and making it make sense, which I feel like would take me months and months and months of work. But also, most importantly, I wanted to share this journey as an example of when it's okay to just take an L. You know, it is okay to be like, you know what, this is just a little too nuanced, too layered, too complicated for us to have a thorough, meaningful, educational conversation about. And so, you know what, I'm just going to not do that. And that's okay. I wanted to kind of share that it's okay to maybe not know everything or to decide that you, for the platform you're working on or for what you're working on, you don't need to go to that level. And I just kind of wanted to use this as an example of how it's okay to just be like, you know what, I'm pulling this segment because it just does not quite, it does not reach my standards of what I feel comfortable sharing. And I wish we could all do that right now or felt more comfortable doing that in our current age, the 2023s of it all. It's okay to just be like, you know what, this is a little too complex for me to talk about. And I would rather not. I'd rather you call me unknowledgeable or unknowing or I'd rather you call me unknowledgeable before you call me uncredible, I guess. So I just wanted to share this journey as how it's okay to just like, you know, call it a day. Take the L. Just be like, you know what? This just is a little too much for me to tackle. And I have peace with that, but I easily could have just like not shared any of this and just been like, okay, today we're talking about birds and the symbols of birds, which would be just fine. I think you guys would like that. But I also just kind of want to be an example as well of just how you can also be like, you know what? I don't need to know everything to such an intense degree to please, you know, the internet gods, you know? So anyways, I just wanted to share this witch win / witch fail / witch lesson. I think it's more of a lesson because I don't think it's a win or a fail. I think it's just an opportunity to share how it's okay to just like throw in the towel and be like, you know what, this is just a little too much work for what we're doing here. And that's it. So I hope that I hope you liked this segment instead of what we were going to talk about. Because literally, even after I recorded, I like an hour later, I was like, well, I should add this. And then an hour later, well, I should really clarify that. And then an hour later, well, like, should I really talk about this? And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I would have to sit down with all of the history, the resources and documents and restructure it to make sense. And I was like, you know what? I am not writing a book on this subject. It's a 10-minute segment. So how about we just call it, take the L, throw it, you know? But I also just wanted to show that, like, it's okay to do that. We don't need to be experts at everything all the time. And we need to be given more permission to just be like, you know what? I don't know enough about this to speak on it. And I'd rather not. So there we go. Okay, so let's wrap up this episode. I do want to give a shout out to Kelly Corrado. Kelly, you glorious avant-garde banshee. Jessica Merrick. Jessica, you scholarly Arcadian muskox. Jesse East. Jesse, you magical, talented selkie. And finally, Kristen Northcutt. Kristen, you glorious, magical mongoose. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull. Let's see. Our card today is Cloud Meditation from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. So your judgment is getting clouded by greed and overindulgence. The Cloud Meditation asks you to find the deeper child who used to find shapes in the clouds and nourish them. Spend time looking up at the sky and take in the wealth that is available to pour down on the crops you've planted and grow the seeds of abundance. Nice. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we've talked about today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.